Good morning. You're listening to Poco and Boco, People of Color in Boulder County, on KGNU Community Radio. I'm your host, Nikhil Mankekal.
And I'm your co-host, Tracy Jones. This morning, we are speaking with the world-renowned Cornelius Duncan. He is an activist with his lifestyle. He's from Newark, New Jersey. He is a most talented musician. That music you heard coming in was Mr. Cornelius playing the kalimba. So good morning, Cornelius. How are you today?
Good morning, Tracy. I'm doing great for early morning in Boulder, snowing, but I'm glad, very happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So I want to ask you, how long have you been in Colorado?
I came to the state of Colorado in 2000, and I've been here ever since then.
In the music, what instrument do you play? Could you tell us a little bit about the kalimba?
Well, the kalimba is an instrument I brought from Seattle. My teacher, he was great enough to give me the instrument because he said I was coming to Colorado and I didn't know anybody up here and I should take this instrument to make sure things stay correct with my soul and my body and my mind. So I've had the acoustic alto U-Tracy kalimba here in the state of Colorado since 2000.
Wow, so you've been playing more than some of our listeners have been alive. That's amazing. So you've been involved in a lot of things that are going countrywide here. Speaking of your appearance in the documentary, The March on Washington, D.C., 1963, could you tell us a little bit about that project?
Well, those documentaries are beautiful documentaries. I must point out Mr. Devon E. Johnson is the gentleman responsible for it. But I'd like to also give a shout out to cast and crew because everyone had a lot to do with putting these beautiful documentaries out about peace. And like I said, it's a hard balance to the documentaries and the music. I love both of them, but I love the fact that he did a documentary dedicated to Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and to Malcolm X. That really struck me.
Those are some heavy hitters.
Yes, they are. Great humanitarians on our planet that has been on our planet for a while. And that's where I'm at, honoring great humanitarians for our planet. And that's important nowadays that we don't forget about these humanitarians.
My question is, how has music helped you through this journey of life, being incarnate as a black male?
Well, as a black male, the music has been a sanctuary to me. Mm. It's been a thing where that's the only way I can escape sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The racism, the things that a black man encounter every day, that's my only escape. It's been my sanctuary through the music.
Mm.
And making the documentaries have helped, but yet, you know, the music, like I said, it takes the edge off the situation. It's just like it's therapy, even though it's helping other folks out, but yet it's therapy.
So, Cornelius, how have you found connection and community in locally through music?
Okay, I think a couple of months ago in Longmont, I stay in Longmont, and I was involved at the museum where a lot of the community children and adults came together to perform, and it was beautiful. I've never been involved with anything like that in my life. That was really beautiful, and a lot of times I give back by going to child development centers, daycare centers, playing for children at the daycare center or senior center the same way. You know, you mm-hmm. have to give back with the music because if it makes me feel good, I know it's going to make somebody else feel good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you brought the kalimba with you when you moved here in 2000, how did people respond when you got out, when they saw you playing it? Because it's a very unique instrument. Maybe in Boulder now, you'll see some people playing them, but I would imagine it was a really unique instrument to see someone playing. What was that experience like?
Well, I was very selfish at first. I wouldn't play it out in public, to a point where it was for me, it was for my family members, and I just basically use it for my own therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, a gentleman, one of the first black men that I met in Colorado, saw me playing the instrument and heard me playing the instrument one day, and that was the beginning of me playing kalimba out in person. I started playing for, like I said, daycare centers and playing for storytellers and things of that sort. But I never really took it serious as far as stepping out with it. It's the exposure it's been receiving, I'm really happy for the instrument. I'm happy for you, Tracy. I'm happy for myself. I think in one film where I'm playing kalimba with Dexter Payne, and he's playing saxophone, that really brought tears to my eyes. The instrument is really helped me to grow. Like I said, it's taken the edge off of a lot of the things in my life, a lot of stress in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I continue playing it. And I recommend anybody to play any instrument, because I don't care if it's a kazoo. That's still some sort of therapy, the sound, singing, voice, and that's where I'm at.
Exactly. I mean, I know for myself, I've been a musician most of my life, and it's a tremendous connection, I mean, especially in Indian culture. So for me, as a Sikh, in the Sikh religion, you know, sound is sacred. And so, you know, sound and that vibration is really... there's a transmission taking place, and so whenever people talk about this this connection we have in with music in this country, it's, and you talk about the different cultures, it's really that that kind of universality of that sound vibration that everyone feels and can understand, you know. And when you get to that cliche saying that music is a universal language, but
yes,
beyond a language of understanding, I mean, I think it's a there's a feeling to it as well. And so when you talk about that feeling where people can connect on that level, there's this healing aspect to it. But I was going to ask you that you talked about your ways that you give back to the community by going out and playing kalimba. But there's also the music community as well. So you mentioned Dexter Payne. How have you found community in your own life through music, locally, and in sharing music?
Well, there's a place I go to in Longmont called the KCP Art Gallery or Bar. Mr. Marcelo Shaka Love has been doing that for, say, a couple of years, 3-4 years now. And a lot of the musicians there, we come together just about every Monday for a little open mic section, but a lot of times we experiment with each other, and I notice right now with me, with the kalimba itself, I'm playing not acoustic, I'm playing an amplified one, and to master the sound and try to get the sound close to the acoustic has been a problem some places, but still yet I'm thoroughly satisfied with the instrument as a whole.
Yeah.
But the like you said, coming together with other musicians of the community is a beautiful thing, because we grow together and we learn together.
Absolutely. So that was interesting. You mentioned an amplified kalimba. Is that with a microphone of some kind?
It has a pickup in it.
It has a pickup.
Yes.
Excellent. So do you how long have you been playing acoustically versus the plugged-in kalimba?
Acoustically for about maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
Amplified no more than maybe a year. It's just basically
right.
New. Victor Wooten, when he was in town, he did a beautiful workshop, at the store that I teach at, in Longmont, Jensen's Guitar Store, right there on Main. I'm plugging a lot of beautiful places today, but Victor Wooten, I had a chance to meet him early last year, and
yeah,
he kind of like convinced me that I should make that step, just like Miles Davis did at one point. He stopped playing, I started playing electric trumpet,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a lot for me to make that step, but Victor Wooten was a very important part of that. And to me, playing the amplified kalimba, it's a little bit easier. It's not as it doesn't tax my body as much, and I can experiment with sound because I'm a lover of Sun Ra. And a lot of his music dealing with sound. And I mean, sound is beautiful. You can heal with sound. Sound is so strong, you can kill somebody with sound. So I'm into the healing part of it. And that's one of the reasons why I do like the kalimba, because it's very healing type of music.
Yeah, that's great. Victor Wooten, you mentioned, is a great guy. I got a chance to meet him as well when he came through town a few years back. And it's so definitely inspiring.
Beautiful to see, humanitarian.
And virtuoso musician. I mean, to get that encouragement to take those next steps whether it's electrifying your instrument. There's people who I know who've only played electric instruments, and you got to push them to try to go acoustic as well. So always, like you said, as we grow together as we move each other.
Yes.
You are quite the versatile musician, Cornelius.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Tracy.
So I hear that you recently did a recording with Pancho Sanchez.
It's okay.
We won't tell anyone.
No, it's quite all right. Mr. Sanchez, I've been knowing him for a long time. I met him in Seattle through Mongo Santa Maria, the master from Cuba. And it was very interesting. We've been out of touch for a while, and he came to the Niwa Jazz Festival of this year. And I had a chance to re-meet him again and talk to him. And it was very interesting, the music he was playing. And he was talking about coming out with his 29th album dedicated to John Coltrane. Mm. And that really got me excited. I think at that night he played the tune from John Coltrane's album, Sounds. He played Liberia. Mm-hmm. And that was beautiful. And the show, as usual, Pancho Sanchez, is incredible show. And we had a chance to talk a little bit and exchange information. And back in November, he gave me a call and asked me to think about being involved in playing kalimba on one of his tunes on the CD dedicated to John Coltrane. I was, to tell you the truth, I was blown away from him asking me to do such a thing like that. But yet he knows I love John Coltrane. He knows I love Mongo Santa Maria. I love him, and I love all great, good humanitarians, especially if they're musicians, because they have a special gift. But I thought about it, and of course, took a couple of seconds to decide yes, and just a matter of getting the instruments ready and get myself ready mentally and physically, and not letting my little life get involved with this recording. And so happened around this time last week, I think it was a Monday, down in Littleton, that they had rented studio time for me to come and work on the tune. And I think they simultaneously recorded in LA at the same time. So it was quite interesting. It's first time ever recording in a studio without actually recording with the group. But
amazing.
Pancho was in the engineering room giving me instructions. It was a beautiful, fantastic experience, I must say.
Amazing. We are here on Poco and Boco. I'm Tracy Jones, hosting with...
I'm your co-host, Nikhil Mankekar. And today's guest is Mr. Cornelius Duncan, musician and civil rights activist.
So, if you are local here in Colorado, in the Boulder County area, I am quite sure that you would thoroughly enjoy meeting Mr. Cornelius live and direct. But before we get into that, where you can see him and meet him, we are going to have him share a piece he wrote regarding Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
So,
well, this is a great piece that Bill Legg, you might not know Mr. Bill Legg, but he's the band conductor and I call him the professor over at Silver Creek High School. A beautiful man. I had a chance to meet him earlier this year. And I was blown away when he wanted me to narrate some things about Martin Luther King behind the school orchestra or the concert band. And I'm still kind of blown away with it. And I wanted to say a little bit about that one speech, if it's okay to talk about. Yeah. Okay. He was a young man, barely out of his 20s. He would never be 40. He was certain about the decency that hid in the deep recesses of our hearts. He had based his whole life on that certainty. He believed in us, the ordinary American. In spite of all the hate around him, Martin Luther King believed that a sense of fairness existed in the American soul. If only it can be touched, everything would change. Now, we all know he won the Nobel Peace Prize, the youngest person ever to win it. And he said he believed that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have its final say. The last years of his life, I mean, there were raised voices, raised fists, years of sticks and clubs, water hoses, dogs straining at their leashes, riots, fires, and fury. But when Martin Luther King spoke, the fury subsided. The other voices fell silent. He gave us more than oratory. He gave us more than eloquency. He gave us the truth, put so plainly that you couldn't be ignored. America knew Martin Luther King was right. He inspired us to put away our weapons and defend ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness and the armor of truth. In the end, the armor of truth was not enough to protect him from the violence against which he set himself. Martin Luther King died in the spring of 1968. He knew us all, black and white. He knew us all. He believed in us all, black and white. And no one will ever believe in us more. Thank you very much, Tracy, for letting me say that and talk about Martin Luther King, because he was very instrumental in my life. And as a youngster growing up, I didn't like him at first because I didn't understand him.
What do you mean?
Because I didn't understand. I didn't understand him. I didn't understand Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started reading and understanding these great humanitarians and what they were trying to say, I mean, put away the weapons and defend yourself with the breastplate of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
that's saying a lot.
Especially in this day and age of violence, in this day and age of hatred. It is difficult to continue to reflect love in the face of hate, but you have been a shining example of that. And for that, I appreciate you living righteously and being a light in this community. I'm
thank
so grateful
much,
to know
Tracy.
You.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
questions?
You know, Cornelius, you'd mentioned in your music, you've now mentioned in this interview, three saxophonists, right? Sun Ra, Coltrane, and the local favorite, Dexter Payne. Do you talk about the influence on saxophonists on your music? Because you're collaborating with one. It seems you're listening to them. What's the attraction?
Well, it's almost like a voice. When I listen to Coltrane's Africa Brass, the instruments, they were sounding like, at first they were sounding like animals, and then they were sounding like people being beat. Or when I go back and listen to Alabama, that John Coltrane wrote, mm-hmm. Dedication to the little black girls that got burnt up and blowed up in that church. You know, you feel the emotions. You feel almost like a voice. I hear voices in a lot of instruments, but the saxophone is, especially the soprano. Mm-hmm. They really talk to me. I love soprano sax.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's so many elements to John Coltrane's music, right?
Yes.
If you look and in his later phases, he really began to be influenced by Indian culture. And
yes.
You see the influence in the use of that in Indian music being incorporated
yes.
into his later period. But he his message. That's where he became almost a messenger and began delivering this, similar to what we talked about today, that message of that spiritual message and that idea of connecting to that sound vibration of music. So we come back to that again. And so it's no surprise that you would be attracted with, to saxophone in both your influence and who you collaborate with.
Well, saxophone and also love heart too, because we got to realize that John Coltrane had a great career, but his wife Alice.
Oh yeah.
Well, I do a piece on Kalimba. I've been doing it for a year or so, and it's a poem about John Coltrane and his wife, Alice Coltrane, and my mama, Miss Nettie. Wow. So I did that at the Still Cellars back in Longmont about a couple of weeks ago, and a gentleman by the name of Mr. Johnson requested that I do that piece, and I haven't recorded it, but eventually one day I'd like to record it. And I, like I said, saxophone, harps, any instrument. It can be a kazoo. I mean, if you're playing it with feeling, I'm into it.
That's right. You know, you talk about the voice of an instrument. So all instruments have voices depending on who's playing them, right? Mm. It's
Thank
the voice
you.
Of the person. It's like that's what makes it come alive.
Yeah, I like that what you just said. That's absolutely true. But we got to remember one thing, all the instruments and all the musicians, we all have our own hand signature, just like you write your name every day.
Yeah, mm.
We
exactly.
might play the same instrument, but we got our own hand signature on that instrument, our right. own voice that we might speak on that instrument.
Absolutely. It's all about the feel, right?
Thank you.
You can't replicate anyone's right. feel.
Tracy, I yes. think before it gets too late, I wanted to let people know that we're going to be showing three of the documentaries at the Lafayette Library
yes.
on the 20th of February. I think it starts at about 6:30. And we're going to be showing three documentaries that I think Miss Maver earlier this year, she talked about. They played them on Rocky Mountain PBS.
The name of them again?
Okay.
Is
The March for Washington, D.C., 1963. And it's going to be, say, three documentaries plus the interview that Dexter Payne and myself did for Rocky Mountain PBS.
Amazing.
Okay.
Awesome. So again, to repeat that, if you would like to be blessed with the sound healings of Mr. Cornelius Duncan, he will be appearing with the film Civil Rights Peaceful Protest 1963 on the 20th of February at the Lafayette Library.
At
6 o'clock.
Yes, thank you.
So you should go out and check that out and get a chance to get a piece of healing. Just the sound of your voice. I remember growing up hearing what you speak, you create. Mm. And just the intent of healing behind your voice. I've never heard you speak in anger. I've always watched you resolve conflict coming from a place of peace. And therefore, even those other people were in an anger place, you brought them into your peaceful storm. And that's been an example for me. I don't think I've ever told you that
no.
as you look at me very surprised. But, you know, being a person of color in Boulder County is a trial. It is filled with microaggressions. And any tools that you can obtain to navigate this system with peace are very valuable tools. And you are a valuable asset to this community, having been an upstanding member for over 20 years. I'm so grateful to know you and call you friend.
Thank you. The feeling is very mutual. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to KGNU Community Radio. This is Poco and Boco, People of Color in Boulder County. I'm your host, Nikhil Mankekar.
And I'm Tracy Jones. And our honorable guest today has been Cornelius Duncan. So thank you for tuning in with us.
Thank you for listening.